and as we yield to him to work that out in a practical way. All right, verse 5, he shall kill the bullock. And again, this has the same significance that we realize that we were the ones who killed Jesus there at the cross. It was our sin. Now, we will study four different grades of this offering, and this is the chief of those grades of the offering, the greatest of them. And it tells us, the bull tells us of Christ as being able and willing to do God's will. In other words, a bull, that is able, and you also find that the bull or the ox is a willing animal and does not have to be forced to do anything. Now, verse 6, he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. That is, he divides it. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. This wood, again, speaks of the complete order of Jesus' humanity. That is, he was just right at all times. There was no faults in him, and everything was most divinely in order. Some have accused him of being a bastard. This is not true either, because his humanity was most divinely in order. And there were other things that he was accused of which are not true. He was human and most perfectly in order in that capacity. All right. Verse 9, his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. The priest shall burn all on the altar. Now, each one of these offerings especially bring out a particular point, and many of them more than one. But the main thing about the burnt offering is that it was all offering. It was all burnt upon the altar. And this tells us, of course, that Jesus was all given over into the hand of his Father. He says, I come to do thy will, O God. And completely burned up as the burnt offering under the will of God to be a burnt sacrifice. And so he was obedient unto death. This is the slogan by which you can remember the burnt offering, obedient unto death. He gave his all. In verse 10, if his offering be of the flocks, namely the sheep or the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. Now, as I told you, there were four different grades of the burnt offering. So the second of those grades is of the sheep. Now, it is inferior unto the bull in that it is not as big and as husky and does not have the ability that the bull does. In other words, both of them bring out the obedience. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You see the obedience of the sheep at this particular point. But what ability does a sheep have? You can't plow with a sheep or do any real grind at a grist mill or any real heavy hard work. So there is the difference between the sheep and the bull. To see Christ as the bull means that we see him as providing all of the great and wonderful depths of redemption. Now then, I don't want this to be at all confusing, but again, I say that there are four grades, and they represent different comprehensions that we have of Christ's work. And so I'll try to keep those separate and just go over them in just a moment. The next degree that we have is the goats. Now, this tells us Christ as a substitute. So you'll find later over here how that we've already noticed how that people are made a goat for someone else. Speaks of being a substitute, bearing guilt that is not their own. All right, verse 11, he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. He shall cut it into his pieces with his head fat. The priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. All right, it was killed on the north side of the altar, and again, this signifies the cold north wind of judgment which fell upon Jesus, even though, of course, he was pictured as the burnt offering here, yet still feeling the judgment of God. Verse 14, if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And notice in verse 17, he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but he shall not divide it asunder. The priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Now then, you will notice a very distinct division even in the burnt offering. The three four-legged animals were all divided into pieces, but the birds were not. Again, you see how that this represents different comprehensions that we have of Jesus and what he did. The bird just brings out Christ as the heavenly being, and therefore he is not cut up into pieces. He is not opened unto our view. This tells us that we cannot fully understand Jesus and his work of redemption if we do not see him as a man, if we do not have him revealed unto us as a man. But Christ was a priest as a man. So whenever we know that, then we begin to look on the inside of him. He begins to be cut up where we can see the inside and what he has done in redemption. All right? So this is really where we start out. We just see Christ as a heavenly being. Now, we know that he became a man, but we don't really know what that means to us. But we see him as a heavenly being, the Son of God. As we go on, the Lord reveals to him, well, he was my substitute there at the cross. I have a little bit better comprehension of what he did there on the cross. And then we go on and we see the obedience of the sheep and what this provided for me. Because of his complete obedience unto the Father, what that means unto me and what provisions it has. Finally, we see his full work as a bull, what he really went through and how that he provided that I might even reign with Christ. These are the deepest truths that we have. And so we see Christ as a bull in providing them. All right. The meal offering is in chapter 2, and as I told you before, it is just an appendage unto especially the burnt offering. It was not a blood sacrifice. In verse 1, when any will offer a meal offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. Now the fine flour, again, tells us of the perfect, even humanity of Jesus. In other words, he was angry at the right time. He was meek at the right time. He conducted himself to show compassion at the right time, to restrain himself at times, and to be very abrupt with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see how even that he was, and always on such an even keel, as it were. Also, the flour being made of the wheat tells us that he had within him the essence of resurrection. Except if corn of wheat fall on the ground and die, it abideth alone. But he had the essence of resurrection within him. In order that we might be brought forth. Verse 4, if thou bring an oblation of a meal offering, bacon in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour. Now we will find about four different ways of preparing the meal offering, and this, of course, also significant. Now in your scripture, by the way, you will find it meat offering, but the correct should be meal offering, as is brought out by the fine flour and everything that we have here. All right. As I said, there are different ways of preparing the meal offering. First, in verse 4, if your meal offering is bacon in the oven. This tells us of the hidden sufferings of Jesus when he was here as a man. And we know that there were many, many things that Jesus suffered that were hidden, even unto us. We cannot fully experience his anguish many times of what he went through when he wept over Jerusalem. We can, in a measure, when we pray and weep for our loved ones, but the anguish that Jesus felt over those who were rejecting him and how he loved them. And so these were his hidden sufferings that no one could really share with him. And then notice, it shall be unleavened cakes. This tells us again, there was no evil practice or doctrine in him at all. As he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then it was mingled with oil. These unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil. That is, it was mixed with oil. This tells us that he was born of the Spirit. And, of course, that is just right down the line because his Father was the Holy Ghost who overshadowed Mary. And then their unleavened wafers anointed with oil. This simply means that the oil was poured over them. And, of course, it happened when he was baptized by the River Jordan. He was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, verse 5, if thy oblation be a meal offering, bacon in a pan. Now this tells us of his open sufferings. the times when the Jews picked up stones to throw at him, and the open things that people did. We find even whenever he was going to the cross, they scourged him. This was open. They put the thorns on his head, and they mocked him, they ridiculed him, things like this. Well, these were open sufferings that were openly visible unto everyone. Bacon in a pan. Verse 7, this one is a little bit out of the ordinary, and to be honest with you, I don't know how that it was fixed, but if thy oblation be a meal offering, bacon in the frying pan. This frying pan seems to be, some people call it a cauldron, others call it a cauldron, as I was told at one time. But the essence is that it was surrounded by water. Now, how this happened, I really can't tell you. But in the spiritual sense, I can tell you what it means. Because it speaks to us of the sufferings of Jesus as a result of yielding to the Word, the water of the Word, you see. And so he was baked in a, he was in, well, to put it in slang, he was in hot water all of the time. And he really was, because of his obedience to the Word. He suffered because of that. He suffered because of the Word of God. And I might add that we'll find ourselves in the same hot water, and this is a good time to be in it. All right. In verse 11, it says, no meal offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. Again, because Jesus had no evil or practice or doctrines in him, it says, you shall burn no leaven nor any honey. This tells us that there was no natural sweetness that was in this, and that could interfere with Christ doing what God wanted him to do. Even his mother, you remember, who watched him there at the cross. And finally, Jesus, he had a concern for his mother, but he would not come down off the cross even for her. And he committed her into the hands of John. And he said, woman, behold thy son. John, behold thy mother. And so the tenderness that Jesus dealt with his mother, but he did not let natural sweetness or honey interfere with his doing the work that he had to do. And he did not shun the suffering or the pain that that it caused. All right, verse 12. As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord. They shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet savor. Now, we will get into this in the 27th chapter of this book. This was the offering of the first fruits, how the people offered according to their prosperity and their crops. And so these, in verse 12, they really do not figure Christ. They are figurative more of the saints, as we will notice in chapter 23:17. I said chapter 27, but it's my notes, it's 23:17. All right, verse 13 then, every oblation of thy meal offering shalt thou season with salt, neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meal offering. With all thine offerings you shall offer salt. Now salt tells us of eternal things, that is, that it holds its savor. And also, salt is a picture of holiness, which opposes evil, even as salt opposes leaven. You see, put salt in there, it opposes the operation of the leaven. Well, the holiness of Christ also opposes the evil practice and doctrine, even of the Pharisees. Verse 14, if you offer a meal offering of the first fruits unto the Lord, you shall offer for the meal offering thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire. Now, this particular offering of the first fruit, it does figure Christ because of this. Green ears of corn. It signifies, of course, the resurrection here, the grain, represented by the grain. But they are dried by the fire, telling us that Jesus had within him the essence of resurrection, but he was dried by the fire of God's wrath or his judgment there upon the cross of Calvary. In order that we might be raised from the grave. And then even corn beaten out of full ears. And this tells us that Jesus was beaten for us. He was beaten rather by God in order that we might have a full redemption. Verse 15, thou shalt put oil upon it and lay frankincense thereon. It is a meal offering. Well, I believe this is as far as we'll go tonight.
Synthesis, track 2, class 7, Leviticus 3 through 15.
Then, third chapter of Leviticus takes us to the third offering. It is the second, of course, of the blood offerings. And I think this is perhaps one of the sweetest or most affectionate offerings that you will find, especially when we study the law of this offering. This is the peace offering, and you see a very good correspondence of this offering in Luke's Gospel of the prodigal son, the story there of the prodigal son, because it tells us of the fellowship which is restored unto God and man by the offering Christ Jesus. Verse 1 of chapter 3, if his oblation, now that word oblation, it simply means a gift. If his gift be a sacrifice of peace offerings, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. He shall lay his hand upon the head of the offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Aaron's son as the priest shall sprinkle the blood round about on the altar. And then he shall offer of the sacrifice the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards and all the fat that which is upon the inwards. And then in verse 5, Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the wood sacrifice, which upon the wood that is on the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now this is the part that was given unto God. The basic point about the peace offering, which distinguishes it from the rest of the offerings, is that it was a real fellowship offering. Just about as much was given to the priests as it was unto God, as we will see. And so they burned the fat, as we find here. Now you'll find in these offerings that the fat was always given unto God. And in fact, Israel were not even permitted to eat of the fat. And the reason for that is because that only God could appreciate the inward zeal that Jesus had to do his will. We find in one place, the zeal of my Father's house hath eaten me up. Well, only God could appreciate the inner energies and zeal that drove Jesus to do his Father's will. Man really couldn't appreciate. He couldn't eat that fat. And he couldn't appreciate that reserve energy at all. And so it tells us of the traits of Christ that only God could enjoy. And then this was burnt upon the altar of the burnt sacrifice also. So the burnt offering was the basis of this offering as well as all of them. Now verse 14, he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards, all the fat that's upon the inwards, the two kidneys, the fat is on them, which is by the flanks, the caul above the liver and the kidneys, it shall he take away. Notice the priest shall burn them upon the altar, it is the food of the offering made by fire for a sweet savor. All the fat is the Lord's. It shall be a perpetual statute for your generation throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood. Now, we will see more about the blood in a moment, so I'll not comment on it here. And we will also see the exact portion that the priest received for his food. In chapter 4, this is still talking about, or this is rather, the sin offering. And it corresponds to Psalm 22. This is a non-sweet savor offering, and of course we find over there how that... Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, you see, it tells us of that non-sweet savor offering. And as we said last week, the non-sweet savor offerings present Christ as identified with our own personal corruption and degradation. He took upon him the sins of us all, and he was made sin for us. So, of course, the sin offering then is a non-sweet savor offering. Now we're going to find four grades of this particular offering, and the number four, as well as being the number of the world, that is, the four corners of the earth, the four winds of the earth, and so on, is also the number of failure. And so we find in verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bullock. Now, this particular offering, you will find, is actually divided into into four different aspects, as I said. And the first one is, if the priest that is anointed do sin. And also we want to notice, before we go too far here, that the sin offering is not a voluntary offering. You couldn't offer this whether you felt like it or not, as it was in the case of the burnt offering and peace offering. This happens to be a must offering, unless, of course, a person didn't sin. But we know that they did sin, of course, and so it had to be offered. So this is one thing that we find about the sin offering as being contrasted with the other offerings, is that it had to be offered, and it was offered specifically for a wrongdoing, for sin. All right? Also in verse 2, we find, if a soul shall sin through ignorance. This tells us that this deals with the root of sin. We will find a little bit later on the fruit dealt with. But in chapter 4, we are dealing with the root of sin, and this is exactly what Jesus did. Remember how that John said, Behold, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Well, Jesus, when he went to the cross, he cut down the root, or the life, of that old, corrupt, old creation tree. So sinning through ignorance, the way that man did, he sinned because that's the only thing that he could do, for he was corrupt in his nature. Verse 3, the priest. This is the first grade of the offering. The priest, of course, speaks of Christ identified with us, because he had no sin in him whatsoever. So he is identified with his people, and therefore, notice, let him bring for his sin which he has sinned a young bull without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. Now, this is the greatest offering, as we have seen before, and so, of course, the priest would have to bring the greatest of the offering, because he, in fact, was the greatest among the people. All right, verse 7, the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bull at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. Verse 8, he shall take off from it all the fat of the bull for the sin offering, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards. Again, only God could receive and enjoy the inward holiness of Christ and his energies. Verse 10, as it was taken off from the bowl of the sacrifice of peace offerings, the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. Verse 12, then he carries the whole bull without the camp unto a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out shall he be burnt. Now this tells us the way that this was taken out without the camp and so on, how that Christ was rejected both by God and by man. Now, Jesus was rejected by man. We know that very emphatically, because they carried him out on the hill outside Jerusalem and crucified him just like they would a criminal. And, of course, as he hung between heaven and earth, it was, again, emphasized that God, he was not in heaven with God, nor was he on the earth with man. He was suspended between the two of them. Verse 13, we find, if the whole congregation of Israel. Now, these, as I said, there are four different degrees or grades of this particular sin offering, and we can see this division as the priest identified with the whole congregation. And so this is the second one, second degree or grade of this offering. If the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning these things, and they are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And so here we find, again, that this agrees with the priest as being identified with the people and indeed a part of the priest identified going along with him. And so they too bring a young bull because they are associated with the priest. Also notice that this is termed a young bullock. It simply means that Jesus did not die of old age. He died at just exactly his prime of life.
And so he was in the